Notice the title, the back of your program. He asked us a question. Who do you say I am this Christmas? Think about that. Who is Jesus to you? You know, Jesus asked that question while he was on this earth. He asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? They had all kinds of answers. Well, they say you're a Republican. No, they say you're a Democrat. Or you're a conservative. Or you're a New Age Jesus. You're the great high therapist Jesus. He said, some said you're Elisha. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back. Even though your head was taken off, you've come back. And then he said, who do you say that I am? And at that moment, inspired by Almighty God, Peter spoke. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you speak rightly, Peter. And this has been revealed to you, my Father in heaven. Do you know that Jesus this morning? The Son of the living God. The one that Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years earlier, who said, unto us a child is born. Unto us a prince, a king, a savior is given. All the government will be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do you know, in the last 2,000 years, any survey that has been taken amongst people, amongst the nations, would ask this question: who has been the most influential, significant person who's lived in the last 2,000 years? You know what the majority of answers would be for almost every nation? Jesus. Jesus. Do you know in the United States, when that survey is taken every year, who's the most important person in history the last 2,000 years, the most influential person? You know what the majority of the answer, now not unanimously, but the majority answer is every single time, Jesus. It's Jesus. But let me ask you a question. Is it the Jesus that really is? Is that the one that we're thinking about? Is that the one that the nations are thinking about? Jesus would ask us this morning in this Christmas season, who do you say I am? Am I the Jesus for you that I declare myself to be? That's the question for you and I this morning. In whatever plight you find yourself, a child of God, a Christian this morning, one who's seeking, one who's battling, one who's here against every fiber against your own body, but someone drug you here, I'm glad that you're here. Not every Jesus in man's imagination is the real Jesus. Let me share with you a few that we see in our nation today. You know, there is the Republican Jesus. He's talked about on talk radio. He's against tax increases. He's against activist judges. He's for family values. And he's for owning firearms. And every hunter said, I didn't know you were a hunter. I know that voice. Then there's the Democratic Jesus. He's against Wall Street. He's against Walmart. He's all for climate control and for printing more money. Then there's the therapist Jesus. He helps us cope with life's problems. He heals our past. He tells us how special we are. And he tells us not to be so hard on ourselves. Then there's Starbucks Jesus. He drinks lattes. He loves spiritual conversations as long as they don't get too serious. He drives a hybrid, and he attends film festivals. Then there's the open-minded Jesus. He loves and accepts everyone all the time, no matter what, except those who aren't as open-minded as they are. Then there's touchdown Jesus. This Jesus helps athletes run faster, jump higher, and hit it longer than non-Christians. And this Jesus also determines the outcome of the Super Bowl. Then there is gentle Jesus. He's meek and mild, with high cheekbones and flowing hair. He happens to hang out mostly with women and children. Then there is hippie Jesus. He says, give peace a chance, while imagining a world without government and authorities. He reminds us that all we got to do is love. And then there's New Age Jesus, who can't stand organized religion or preachers or Bible doctrine, who just wants us to connect with nature and to tap in to the God who's already in. Okay. All of us maybe know somebody who aligns with such a Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and say, oh, wait a minute. My Jesus is a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit over there. This morning, during this Christmas season, I want you to be able to affirm in your heart, to have the great confidence to know that the Jesus that is your Jesus for real. Let's see what he says about himself. Now look, and fill in, if you like, in your outline, the 7 I Am statements of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. It's an interesting statement. When I say, I am, what does that remind you of? Some of you have ever watched the movie, The Ten Commandments, or The Prince of Egypt, or better yet, who have read your Bibles. You know that Jesus himself, and actually it was God the Father, who when he spoke to Moses in the wilderness, he appeared to him how? Through a burning bush. And he said, take off those sandals, Moses, because where you're standing is holy ground. What made it holy? Because God showed up. See, before he showed up, it wasn't holy. And when God left, it wasn't holy again. Moses didn't know it was holy. God said, I'm showing up. It's holy. Take off the sandals. And he says, I want you to deliver my people who are in Egyptian bondage. They're crying out to me. They're calling out to me. It's been over 400 years. I've heard their cry and I'm going to deliver them. And Moses, you're going to be the deliverer. What? Say what? How can I do that? I can't speak. I can't lead. I can't do anything. Get your eyes off yourself. Moses, I'm going to deliver my people through you. Get your eyes on me. And so Moses said, okay, he's about to go. He turned back. And what if they ask, who's sending me? God said, you just tell them, I am. Send you. That's enough. The great I am is sending you. Jesus would introduce us this morning in these 7 statements in the Gospel of John. I am statements. A couple of weeks ago, Dr. Bice was with us and he shared a message from the first few verses of John's Gospel. You remember what they were? Let me read them to you. In the first 2 verses of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So let me backtrack. In the beginning of what? The 19th century? No. The beginning that has no beginning. Okay, keep counting, keep going back. It's just from everlasting to everlasting. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then if we jump to verse 14... the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let me ask you, trivia question. Who is the Word that was with God in the beginning that became flesh? Jesus! There you go. Why did God give him that name? Why does Jesus declare himself as the Word? Well, when do you speak words? When do I speak words? When I've got something to say. When I want to share something with you or with somebody else. Or way too often, when I just want to talk with myself. Words come out of my mouth. God has something to say to you and to me. And that's why Jesus came. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Because God has something to say to you and I. He says, please, listen up. Listen to what I have to say. And then the latter part of verse 14 says, He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you need to experience God's grace this morning? His unmerited favor in your life? He says, I'll give it to you, but I'm going to give it to you with truth. The balance of God's grace, the balance of truth. Now let's get your pens and pencils out. Or some of you who have that photographic memory, you'll say, I don't need it. Good. John 6, 35 through 45. Jesus' first I am statement, he says, I am the bread of life. Verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, and I want you to count how many times he says, comes to me. Because I'm going to ask you this morning, are you empty inside? I'm not talking about a loaf of bread, Italian, whole wheat, rye, whatever you enjoy the most. Or in this Christmas season, all that other good stuff. I'm talking about filled inside. That the deep hunger that you have for purpose and for meaning and for peace. And you're, is that filled in your life? Jesus says, you gotta come to me. He says it over and over. You gotta come to me. You gotta come to me. I will fill you. He says. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Is he talking about physical bread? No. Because you know what? These bodies are passing away. But do you want to know something? Every single soul in this place this morning will live for an eternity. Either with God or apart from God. Forever. There is no annihilation. There is an eternity with God or away from God. Heaven or hell. And Jesus says, oh, how the Father wants you to spend eternity with Him. So come to me and I will fill you. For all eternity, you will be filled. All that the Father gives me. Verse 36, I'm sorry. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. If you're here this morning because you've come to Jesus, truly, the Father pursued you. And you responded to Him. And you came to Him. And He says, and I'm never going to push you away. But you know what, Jesus? I've blown it since I've come to you. He says, you sure have. But I'll never drive you away. Because you came to me as the bread of life. And you said, only you can fill me, Jesus. And at some point in your life, you responded to that great I am. And He says, I'll never drive you away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. What security, what hope. Heaven is yours because of Jesus and because you came to Him. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, just like the hope that Mike spoke to the children and to all of us about this morning. Real hope, believing hope. You know what they said? I'm missing a few verses here. Couldn't fit it into the program. They said, no way. Look at you. Who are you? We know where you're from. You are born of Mary and of Joseph. You ain't nothing. Who are you to claim that you're related to the Heavenly Father? That's blasphemous. Get out of town. Better yet, we're going to take you down. And they were grumbling. And they tried to take him down. And notice what Jesus said. And maybe you're here this morning and you grumble against these claims of Jesus. He says, keep grumbling. But you're empty, aren't you? He says, stop grumbling. Come to me and I'll give you fullness of life, completeness of life. Stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. That's a powerful, insightful, significant verse. If you're here today and you know Christ personally, you know the Father drew you, pursued you. He loved you so much that he reached out from heaven to get your attention. Was it at that low point in your life? Was it at a high time? Maybe it's today and you're realizing, wow, so this is what's been going on. This is the wrestling that's going on in my heart. God is trying to get my attention. He's trying to draw me to himself, pointing me to his son, the bread of life. I'm so glad that you're here. This Christmas season can be the season that you begin a new journey, a spiritual journey filled with Christ. Number two, Jesus' second I am statement in the gospel. He says, I am the light of the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wow. What is that? That's really the opportunity, the ability to see what's really going on in life. Ever wonder what in the world is happening? Why does it seem so cloudy? Why do I not have a clue? Why do I keep stumbling and falling? Why do I keep knocking into walls? What is happening? Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Listen for me. Let me lead you. I am the light of the world. Follow me and you will not walk in darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness, folks. He goes, I will be able to let you see something that you could never see and understand unless you were following me. And that word follow means letting me guide you. Listening for my voice. Obeying my voice. Following me. That's what we do, right? If you can't see, you've got to follow somebody who can, who's saying, over here, let me take you by your hand, over here. And Jesus says, I'm that light. This building next door is almost complete. I went in the other night. It was dark. It gets dark now at 4:20 or something. But guess what? December 22nd. What happens after December 22nd? We start gaining a minute or two of day. I'm waiting for that. Okay, I only found out about that a couple of years ago. I'm like, really? Okay. Wonder how that happened. But that was a date. So I'm looking for December 22nd. We're going to gain a couple of minutes of daylight. Simple pleasures for simple minds. You know, I'm sorry. And I'm over at the building. And you know, there's been a team who's kind of picked paint and carpet and all those kinds of things. I'm looking in the hallways. I'm going, wow. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work. And it looks kind of, I don't know. I come home and I tell my wife and she's like, what do you mean? I'm saying, I'm not sure. And she says, were the lights on? No. Then, you know, was it dark? Yeah, but I have my flashlight. She says, that's not the kind of light you need to really see what the color of the paint is on the walls. Wait till the light comes on and you'll really be able to see. And I went, okay. But I wrote down, who are those people who chose those colors? You know? Because when the arrows start flinging, I want to make sure I know exactly who to, you know, feed to the lions. And they're going to say, I don't remember that color. And that's where I want the rest of us to remember mercy and grace and forgiveness, okay? I am the light of the world. What is it that you're in the dark about, my friend? Follow Jesus. Get close to Jesus. Wait on Jesus. He has the light to pull back and to show you what it is you're in the dark about. He'll show you clearly and surely what God wants you to see. Thirdly, Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. I'm not going to ask you to bah, but if you're a follower of Christ, you are a sheep. Sheep, they're so cute. Furry. But you know what somebody has said? They're one of the dumbest animals on the planet. I mean, I haven't experienced that with Open Arms Church sheep. It's those other sheep in those other places. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. All of us, every day, there's in us a vacuum. And we look to seek something or someone in our lives to worship, to give it purpose, to give it direction so that we might be filled and we might have just that feeling of accomplishment. Let me ask you, are you feeling something's been stolen from you? Are you feeling like the direction that you're going is a dead end? Then Jesus is saying, that's a thief. You're listening and you're following a different voice. It's not me. You're entering a broad path. You're kind of like in the buffet Christianity mode. This is the faith I want to follow that says, yeah, okay, over here, and yep, a little bit of that is okay, and a little bit, and yet, how you doing? Bloated? But oh, feeling so depleted. Like, man, my life is just not counting. Jesus says, I'm the gate, I'm the doorway, I'm it. Narrow. It's me. God knows us sheep, so he couldn't make it very hard. He says it's very simple. It's me and me alone. I'm the door. Enter through me and you will be saved. You will be delivered. You will be redeemed. And he says, and guess what? Your life is going to be full. Because once you're in me, you're going to go in and out of the sheep pen. And you're going to pasture and you're going to eat and you're going to enjoy the good things in life. Because they're not going to master you anymore. I am going to be your master because you've yielded to me as Lord. But this world, there's some good in there. And I want you to enjoy it. Because you're always going to come back to me and enter in. And because I'm the gate, because I'm the door, I'm your protector. And that's how shepherds slept in the fields at night during that season and during that day. The sheep would come and they would be in around bushes or a fence, and that shepherd would lie right there. He was the gate. He was the door. A predator could not get in, and a sheep could not get out in the darkness of night where it would be dangerous. And Jesus says, and that's who I am. I am the gate. I am the door. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Oh, let's enjoy the fullness of life that Christ wants us to have. But he says, look to me. I am the one who gives it. Number four, in the next verse, another I am statement. I am, he says in John 10:11, the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He did that literally. He did that figuratively. And he says, and I know you and I know you know me. But how sheep herded, or how sheep were herded in that day by their shepherd, was with the voice of the shepherd. They knew his voice because all of the sheep together were mixed when they were pasturing out there in the fields. But then at the proper time, when it was time to go to their pen, the shepherd would call. He would begin to speak, and the sheep would come out from all amongst the others, and they would follow that shepherd home to the place of safety, to the place of protection. And Jesus says, I am that shepherd, the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. I love you so much. That is the one that we worship. He laid down his life for you. He came so humbly to lay down his life so brutally for you and for me. So he says, I'm the good shepherd. It's an interesting word where he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. It's a word of great intimacy. The husband knows his wife like a wife knows her husband. He says, I know you. I know right now your hurts, your pains, your joys, your goals, where you've come from. And I know where you're going. And you don't even know that. So he says, listen to my voice. You know my voice. Oh, it's so much different than any other voice. The other voices constantly pour out your faults, your inadequacies, constantly tell you to doubt me, to doubt yourself. But my voice says, follow me, listen to me, come with me, obey me, trust me, see what I'm doing in your life. And you know that voice. It's distinct than all the other voices. So he says, what are some voices you have to shut down and shut out of your life? Think of all the noise. Begin to shut them out. And let my voice rise up in your heart to where it becomes a megaphone. And you know it so intimately, so clearly, that when the other voices begin to distract, you'll say, no, that's a foreign. Oh, I know that voice. You're coming to kill, to steal, and destroy. No, I'm going to the good shepherd. Oh, what he says is hard. What he says is different. Oh, what he says is such a challenge. But you know something? He laid down his life for me. I can trust him. He's a good shepherd. He's not looking to destroy my life, to steal my life. No, he's given me real life. So I'm going to trust that voice, even though it's distinctly different than all the rest, because he's the good shepherd. And then he would say in John 11, the very next chapter, as his precious friends, Martha and Mary, were grieving because they had just lost their brother Lazarus to death. And Jesus said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. There's the promise again. Death awaits us. Death has some hearts here this morning, sorrowful and grieving, because death has met you this past year, or from a former year, and these seasons are hard. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Look to me. Trust me. Though you die, you shall live. Do any of us this morning need to die to something that voice says, die to? Guys, on Saturday morning, have been learning that. The key verse and thought to that study is, die a little, live a lot. Die a little, live a lot. It's all about us dying and then really living. And Jesus said, I started it. I've got that down. So that you can live, I died. And then he says in John 14, the very night he was betrayed, 3 days before what we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday and Easter, the disciples gathered. He walked with them 3+ years. And there was so much that he wanted to say. And he says, I can't tell you everything. But let me give you a refresher course. You know who I am, right? You know where I'm going, right? And the response was, duh. They still didn't get it. So don't beat yourself up. This is the therapist Jesus now, okay? Because you don't get it all. Okay? They didn't get it all. But he says, boys, hear me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're here today and you say, I know God, I love God, I worship God. If you haven't come through Jesus, you don't know God. You don't have a relationship with God. You haven't experienced forgiveness and fullness and in your heart and the mercy of God and the grace of God. And he so much wants you to. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the method. I'm the road. I'm the vehicle that gets you to the Father. I'm truth. All around you, there's little lies. There's truth that's twisted. He says, I am pure and simple truth. Yes, it's hard to take, but truth sometimes is. I am truth. God said, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you the truth. That's why he came. The word became flesh to reveal to us truth. And he says, I've come to give you life, real life. So let me be the Lord of your life to give you real life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And how do we enjoy this life? How do we live this abundant life? How do we experience all of the promises that he's sharing with us this morning? The very last I am statement right there in your scriptures. John chapter 15, verses 1 and verse 5. What does he say? I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Every single one of us this morning is holding on to something to give you resource. To make you get up in the morning. To make you be here in this morning. There was something that's guiding you. There's something that you're thinking about. There's something that's motivating you. What is that source in your life? Jesus says, I'm the true vine. You see, picture that vine. Look at verse 5. What does he say? I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. What? Huh? Nothing that makes a difference. Nothing that's really going to bring you fulfillment and impart long-term impact to another person. Jesus says, I'm the vine. I'm the source. That vine goes deep into the soil, into the ground, and sucks up nourishment and nutrients. Why? To send it to the branches. Why? So the branches can fulfill what they have been created for, to bear fruit. Verse 8 would tell us, fruit that brings glory to the Father, not to myself. So I can't determine what kind of fruit I want to be. God says, I'll let that happen through you. If you will do what? Remain in me. Stick close to me. Let my Father be the gardener. What does a gardener do? The gardener prunes. And those next few verses talk about that. The gardener lifts up that which is dirty and mucky, and he washes and he cleanses. He puts on the trellis there, and all the green stuff. Where somebody who's so ignorant like me about gardening thinks, oh, isn't that pretty? The person who knows the deal about the vegetable, the fruit says, no, no, no. That's sucking away. from where the nutrients need to go. The nutrients need to go to this little bud over here where fruit or a beautiful flower is going to grow. The green stuff gets cut away because that's stealing and robbing and taking. So, sometimes we think, the green stuff, busyness, or this sounds good, or that looks okay, maybe I'll try this. No, the Father will come and He'll begin to prune your life. You like pruning? I don't. Do we need pruning? If you want to bear fruit, that brings glory to the Father. Absolutely. If you don't, guess what? When the Father comes to begin to prune, and you run, He lets you run. He lets you run. He'll never let you go, but He'll let you run. He's never moved the vine. The Father is the gardener. Are you back? I'm glad you're back. He's glad you're back. Remain in Me. And watch what I'm going to do through your life. Fruit that's going to be picked off of you and you won't even know it. And that's the way it ought to be. You will bring refreshment and joy and nourishment to other people's lives. And you won't even know. They'll just be picking. God says that's the way it ought to be. And you will bring glory to Me. This Christmas, what Jesus are we worshiping? The Jesus who declares, this is who I am. I am the bread of life. The Jesus who says, I am the light of the world. The Jesus who says, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, John, I don't get this Jesus. I have not connected to Him. I have not hooked up with Him. I'm glad you're here this Christmas. May this Christmas be the opportunity that you will never forget, because you will. And how does that happen? Is that you realize you're empty without Him. It doesn't mean you're not busy. It doesn't mean you got some things going on in your life. It just means that deep down you know, deep in your core, there's a void, there's an emptiness. And this morning there was a knocking on the door of that heart and says, here I am. I've been wanting to come in. I've been wanting to give you refreshment and fullness of life. I've been wanting to make you complete. I've been wanting for you to begin to life, to live a life on purpose and with a purpose. And you've missed it because of all the green stuff. Hook up to Jesus. Well, how do I do that, you say? You acknowledge that you need Him. Why do you need Him? Because you've missed the mark. Because you've sinned against God, just like I have. And you realize, Jesus, You're the only way. And you're willing to say that. You're willing to believe it. Jesus, You're the only way. You are the great I am for me. I know the world, but forget the world. Right now, it's just me. I need You because I've sinned. I've missed the mark. God, I don't know You. I want to. And I believe Jesus is the only way. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. I live for myself. I am selfish and my hurts, that's an excuse, and I live in that. And no, I need healing. I need You. Forgive me for missing You and making a God of my own imagination. And I come to You. The bridge I realize is Jesus. He's the way to You. He died on that cross for me personally. The mark that I miss, the sin that I commit, is so heavy. That's why You said, innocent blood has to be shed. And that's why for those thousands of years, those poor innocent animals had to be sacrificed. But that wasn't good enough. And that's why You sent Jesus. It was His blood. Because He's perfect. A total human being, but totally God. And He came. And I ask You now for forgiveness, that His blood, His death, is what I deserve. I deserve an eternity separated from You. I deserve the consequences of every offense, every sin, everything I've done in this. I deserve that. I deserve everything that I'm getting because I've rebelled against You. And if you can admit that in your heart, but then you say, but I need Your mercy. Hold that back from me, God, please. Jesus, save me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Do you know what he says? Yes. Yes, I will. I will enter in. Thank you for coming to me. Thank you for being willing to receive me into your life. And yet I got to tell you, I'm coming into every room. No longer the religious compartment. I have no such idea. I want to come into your life. I want to lead every area of your life. Have you done that? Have you received him that way? If you have, then this Christmas is a joy, is a refocus, is a celebration. And if today is your day, welcome to God's family. For all of those who would receive him, who would believe on his name, God says, I give you the right to become my children. Born not of natural means, not because your parents are Christian. Born not because somebody you love wants you to. A spouse, a husband, a child, a parent. Born not because of your own will. Because you said, well, today is a day, December 20th, 2009, I'm going to cross that line. No, but that you met God on his terms. You were born of God. John 1, 12 and 13. Welcome to God's family. You're my brother and you're my sister, amongst many others. That's it. That's Christmas. That's why he came. Let's celebrate that, Jesus. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. I hope he's in your heart. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for the reminder. We can exhale. Lord, for today and these next days leading up to that Christmas Eve and that Christmas Day, thank you, Jesus, the Word who became flesh, who intercepts us this morning and reminds us of the great I Am, of all that we have because you came so humbly that Christmas morn. Thank you for those in this room who maybe for the first time are saying, I've never surrendered, I've never received, I've never believed in him with all my heart this way, but this morning I receive him as Lord and Savior. I enter into now a personal relationship with God the Father because Jesus has become my Savior. Thank you, God. And Lord, may others see the light of Christ in us, and may we gently, but Lord, with confidence, point them to you, asking you, God, to begin to draw them. We ask that even now. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.